Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Hope you've had a blessed, blessed day. We've had a lovely day here.
Yes.
And it's our brethren in Africa that are with us. Bright in Malawi and Andrew in... I always forget, Andrew. I don't know why I forget where you are. It's, I keep thinking Nigeria, but you're not, are you? Tell me where you are, Andrew. Remind me. Try and remember where everyone is. And... welcome, Luke. Glad you can join us. Azadur, blessings to you. And, hey, it's Zane. Hey, Zane. We'll have to spin the camera around, everyone, and say hello to Zane. And everyone else, hang on, turn the camera around.
Don't get too dizzy.
Oh. That's the kitchen.
I think we've disconnected the camera, haven't we?
Oh, no.
Sure.
We've lost the camera.
That's all wound around there, Adrian. That's the problem.
Is the camera off?
That's the problem. That's all wound around.
Oh, you're going to have to, we've killed the camera. Isn't technology wonderful? I think we've still got audio. Something froze.
Yeah, it's full of cable. This cable. Yeah. Whatever that cable is.
Okay, there's power. It's on. It's got power. There we go. Camera's back. It's still streaming, we just don't have a camera. So, start virtual camera. So, we're back.
Maybe we'll get up on this.
Oh, yeah, sorry, folks. Yes, we're back. Sorry, Zane. Yeah, everyone walk file past. And that's an exercise all of its own. Oh, dear. Talia and Liam, Sharon, Norel, Robin, and Nestor in Peru. Pavle is in Serbia. Glad you can join us.
Andrew came back and said Algeria.
Algeria, not Nigeria. Algeria. Thank you, Andrew. I'll try and remember. Andrew from Algeria. That's an alliteration, isn't it? It makes sense. Well, let's start with 343. I will sing of my Redeemer. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love for me. On the cruel cross he suffered. On the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. Paid the day that made me free. Just stop for a minute. How do we understand this? How did he purchase us with his blood? But from where we stand, he did purchase us with his physical blood, didn't he?
Yeah.
From where we understood things. But then he had to give to us his lifeblood. On the cross, he still paid the debt. What debt? The debt of sin? The debt that we thought was owed. The debt of death. The debt of blood. We thought that's what God required.
The debt of our guilt.
The debt of our guilt, definitely. Yeah. So there's many layers. There's many layers in this, isn't there? There's old and new covenant ways of seeing these things, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. I will tell the wondrous story how my lost estate to save in his boundless love and mercy. He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Well, welcome to Kilton. Now, Kilton, are you in Zimbabwe? Is that where you are? You're not in South Africa, are you? Just let me know. And, of course, we never know where Croc Hugger is. Somewhere in Western Crocs. Australia. With the Crocs? Are you with the Crocs? Kerry, is that where you are? No, not the camel hugger anymore. Got Croc Hugger now, he's upgraded. So there we are, downgraded. Well, depends on how you look at it, really. Hugging a croc, that's a serious bicep upgrade, I reckon. Hanging on to one of those. Anyway, yes, Kilton's in Zimbabwe. I'd like to come up.
Sure.
Come up and say hello. Kilton, this is Rowan.
Yes.
From Zimbabwe. Living in sunny Queensland now.
Yes, yes.
He and his dear family.
All right, thank you.
Sorry to do that to you, Rob. lost the brace. Well, do you want to come here and turn around?
Hello, everybody. This is Daniel.
This is Daniel.
Say hi, Daniel.
He's not a crocker.
And you're looking at the better side. So
everyone can see you from all over the world.
Here we go. Have a seat. Now, Kerry is 500 kilometres east of Darwin. Oh, that's a...
east of Darwin.
That's an interesting place to be.
Right.
Kilton says, greetings, Elder Rowan. I had heard his English the day he presented. Wow, I'm so happy for that. So. Yes. So, all right, shall we sing another hymn?
341.
Oh, we're on the 3/4. To God be the glory. I like getting to this time of the feast. We've had a few days of the Holy Spirit. We've settled in and Everyone's feeling at home and feeling comfortable. It's a good time, isn't it?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Amen. Want to sing another one or leave it there? I'm good. Did you have one, Sarah? Oh, I thought you were saying 100.
Oh,
100. Next meeting, Sarah. Sorry. Great is thy faithfulness. That's a good theme, isn't it?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadowing with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
All right. Greetings from Pastor Cecil in South Africa. And dear Carlos from Portugal, it's wonderful to have so many of the family. That will do. Thank you. To my two favorite ladies.
Double blessing,
Evans,
Evans. Yes.
Evans, Evans, Evans.
Yeah. Oh, no. Really, oh, yes. let's leave it there.
Two out of three favorite ladies
of yours. Two out of three favorite ladies. Oh, yes. Of course. Yes, that was added recently, yes. Three favorite ladies. Thank you, Colin. Well, last night I started to pray. I thought maybe the rain would just sort of dissipate, but I thought, no, I need to pray about this. Father, can you sort out the rain? And so it hasn't been too bad today, has it? Sort of a little bit windy, but it started out, so I thought. So then Danielle asked me to pray about the wind, so we've prayed about the wind. I think it's okay now.
Yeah.
It's calm.
We're okay now?
Yeah.
All right. So we pray, and it seems to be saying sunny tomorrow, so I pray that people say, oh, you know, we're using the water, but we're filling up the tanks. I'm going, I want them to fill up after you leave. Not while you're here. It's too wet. they could fill up when you've left. So, I pray that you're all being blessed and having a blessed time. We had a wonderful time this afternoon, didn't we? I enjoyed the study. Thank you, Eddie. That was
saying having the light behind the Lord.
Sorry?
Having the lights behind the
Lord.
Oh, did you? Yes. Okay. Thank you, Tyler.
I just thought that
there we go.
He gets his light right on his head sometimes.
It shouldn't be there though. It's okay.
You know what I mean?
That light
is shining on his head.
All right. So tonight I prayed before Passover started, and as has become my practice, I asked the Lord to tell me what to present, not to prepare too much notes, because there's a lot of things that I could share, and I just asked him for guidance as to what to present. And as I was writing them down and I came to tonight's presentation, I just heard the words, the two crowns. So I immediately thought of the vision from Ellen White about the two crowns. So I'm impressed to read that vision that Ellen White had in 1861 about the two crowns and see where that leads us. So if you'd like to bow with me, we will kneel. For those who can. Father, we just thank you so much for the outpouring of your Spirit. Thank you that we are your beloved children. And we're reminded, as Colin shared this morning, the new and living way is to know that we are your beloved children and that you are our tender Father. Thank you so much for revealing this truth to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our mediator, that you mediate for us grace, and we thank you that you are mediating for our families, our children, our loved ones. And Father, we put all of these things before you. We pray that you would guide as we speak and show us the things that we need to see tonight. And I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So this is in Testimonies Volume 1, page 347, and it's entitled The Two Crowns. In the vision given to me at Battle Creek, Michigan, October 25, 1861, I was shown this earth dark and gloomy. Said the angel, "Look carefully." Then I was shown the people upon the earth. Some were surrounded by angels of God. Others were in total darkness, surrounded by evil angels. Now, it's interesting, the thought that comes to my mind there is, I think of the statement in Second Testimonies, page 704, I think it is. It says, "I saw that those who are keeping the Sabbath holy through a strictly devotional frame of mind are receiving light, health, and special strength, and angels are bringing that to them. But those who are rejecting the Sabbath, the Spirit of God is being withdrawn from them, and obviously darkness and gloominess is surrounding them." So the Sabbath is very much connected to these two groups. But of course, as we know, it's much more than that. So some were in total darkness, surrounded by evil angels, and others were surrounded by God's angels. "I saw an arm reach down from heaven, holding a golden scepter. On the top of the scepter was a crown studded with diamonds. Every diamond emitted light, bright, clear, and beautiful. Inscribed upon the crown were these words, 'All who win me are happy and shall have everlasting life.'" But then it says, "Below this crown was was another scepter, and upon this also was placed a crown, in the center of which were jewels, gold, and silver, reflecting some light. The inscription upon the crown was 'Earthly treasure, riches is power. All who win me have honor and fame.' I saw a vast multitude rushing forward to obtain this crown. They were clamorous. Some in their eagerness seemed bereft of reason." Interesting statement, isn't it? "They would thrust one another, crowding back those who were weaker than they and trampling upon those who in their haste fell. Many eagerly seized hold of the treasures within the crown and held them fast. The heads of some were as white as silver, and their faces were furrowed with care and anxiety. Their own relatives, bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh, they regarded not. But as appealing looks were turned to them, they held their treasures more firmly, as though fearful." "As though fearful that in an unguarded moment they should lose a little or be induced to divide with them. Their eager eyes would often fasten upon the earthly crown and count and recount its treasures. Images of want and wretchedness appeared in that multitude and looked wishfully at the treasures there and turned hopelessly away as the stronger overpowered and drove back the weaker. Yet they could not give it up thus. But with a multitude of deformed, sickly, and aged, they sought to press their way to the earthly crown. Some died." Did I go a bit too far? Oh, boy. Some died in seeking to reach it. Others fell just in the act of taking hold of it. Many had but just laid hold of it when they fell dead. Dead bodies were strewed Dead bodies strewed the ground. That's a good. It makes me think. Have you ever seen that picture of people climbing Mount Everest?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're all lined up to get to the top, and people, something went wrong, and they're just stepping over dead bodies. Sorry, bud. Can't. Haven't got time. Just got to keep moving. So these people are all dead. All these dead bodies on the way to the top of Mount Everest. And people are like, well, I've paid my money and my goal is to get to the top. That's the crown. Whether I die or not.
Got to get that selfie.
Got it. Yes, got to get up the top and take that selfie. That's...
Yeah.
That's a good illustration of this, isn't it? Yet rushed on the multitude, trampling over the fallen and dead bodies of their companions. Everyone who reached the crown possessed a share in it and was loudly applauded by an interested company standing around it. So there's a group of people, yay, well done. Oh, bravo, sir, bravo, wonderful. Is that in the peanut gallery? A large company of evil angels were very busy. Satan was in the midst of them. And all looked with the most exulting satisfaction upon the company struggling for the crown. He seemed to throw a peculiar charm upon those who eagerly sought it. Many who sought this earthly crown were professed Christians. Some of them seemed to have a little light. They would look wistfully upon the heavenly crown and would often seem charmed with its beauty. Yet as they had no true sense of its value and glory, while on the one hand they were reaching forth languidly for the heavenly, with the other they reached eagerly for the earthly. Determined to possess that, and in their earnest pursuit for the earthly, they lost sight of the heavenly. They were left in darkness, yet were anxiously groping about to secure the earthly crown. Some became disgusted with the company who sought it so eagerly. They seemed to have a sense of their danger and turned from it and eagerly sought for the heavenly crown. The countenances of such soon changed from dark to light and from gloom to cheerfulness and holy joy. I then saw a company pressing through the crowd with their eyes intently fixed upon the heavenly crown. And when I think of this, I think of Christian and faithful going through Vanity Fair. They were fixed and going through. As they earnestly urged their way through the disorderly crowd, angels attended them and made room for them to advance. Do you want to advance? The angels of God will make room for you to advance. As they neared the heavenly crown, the light emanating from it shone upon them, and around them dispelling their darkness and growing clearer and brighter until they seemed to be transformed and resembled the angels. They cast not one lingering look upon the earthly crown. Those who were in pursuit of the earthly mocked them and threw black balls after them. These did them no injury, while their eyes were fixed upon the heavenly crown. But those who turned their attention to the black balls were stained with them. So what do you think that means? She explains later, but what do you think she means? What's the black balls?
Well, hesitating, I guess.
Accusations? Yeah. Rumours?
And they're hesitating what they're going through and saying, is this worth all this?
Well, this is people throwing
the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the black balls are insult or
doubts. But people attacking them.
Different kinds.
People are attacking them.
Yes.
And if you stop to deal with the attackers and to defend yourself, you get stained. So we just got to keep moving. Keep moving. People throw things at us, say things about us. In the weeks leading up to Passover, I had some doozies about my character and how black I am and everything. I'm building the wall of Zion. Sorry, haven't got time to interact with you. It says here, the following scripture was presented before me. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy body, whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is the message. How do we serve God faithfully? This is the question that many of us are asking now in the light of the fact that we've received this message. Then that which, pardon me, that which I had seen was explained to me as follows. The multitude who were so eagerly striving for the earthly crown were those who loved this world's treasure, that's obvious, and are deceived and flattered with its short-lived attractions. Some I saw who professed to be followers of Jesus are so ambitious to obtain earthly treasures that they lose their love for heaven. And this can even be, the earthly treasure can be a seat in the church, can't it? That can be an earthly treasure. Thank you, darling. Rather than investigate the truth and run the risk of losing my seat in the church, of being part of the in-group, I would rather hold on to that and covet the highest seats in the sanctuary, in the synagogue, rather than to prove all things, hold fast to that which is true. That is seeking earthly treasure, because power, position, performance is part of earthly treasure. And if you're seeking a position in the church, and particularly for ministers who are occupying a high position in the church, that's an earthly treasure which they don't want to lose for the sake of studying present truth. It says, I saw who professed to be followers, are so ambitious to obtain earthly treasures that they lose their love for heaven, act like the world and are accounted of God, the God of this world. I always found it amazing how, I mean, at least those of us in this message, to continue to engage in football, in tennis, in cricket. Have we done that? Will I get out my baseball bat on those three? Baseball.
I guess you better put the Americans in it.
Gridiron. The love of domination, pugilism, fighting, sport. This spirit is not the spirit of God. It was a very mournful day for me as a young person to read from Ellen White saying that tennis, cricket and football are a species of idolatry.
She was living in Australia when she said that.
She did. She said Australians are mad about cricket. No. Completely mad. And this is a species of idolatry. And this is part of the earthly treasure. We can't serve God and mammon. And sports is part of that. You can't do that. Going and listening to worldly musicians and listening to their music, this is being in the world. You're not fully committed if you are going to listen to people who don't honor the true God of heaven. Are we standing on toes? But this is just eyes single for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, whether you sing, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is what. And the fact is, knowing this message makes that really easy, doesn't it? It's not a sacrifice. It's a joy. It's freedom. It's beauty. It's wonder. You don't want to do these things anymore. You don't want to participate in these things anymore because these things are so beautiful. And so they profess to be seeking an immortal crown, a treasure in heaven, in the heavens, but their interest and principal study is to acquire earthly treasures. And again, not just assets, not just money, not just property, but position, influence. All of these things are part of the earthly treasures that men are seeking. Those who have their treasures in this world and love their riches cannot love Jesus. And why is that? They may think they are right, and although they cling to their possessions with a miser's grasp, they cannot be made to see it or to feel that they love money more than the cause of truth or the heavenly treasure. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? There was a point of time in the experience of such when the light given them was not cherished and it became darkness. Said the angel, you cannot love and worship the treasures of earth and have the true riches. When the young man came to Jesus and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus gave him his choice to part with his possessions and have eternal life or to retain them and lose it. So it's a diabolical situation, isn't it? His riches were of greater value to him than the heavenly treasure. The condition that he must part with his treasures and give to the poor in order to become a follower of Christ and have eternal life chilled his desire, and he went away sorrowful. And I just want to say at this particular time that in regard to those that are following this message, we're deeply thankful for the support that so many of you are providing. It's just such a blessing that we can continue to translate, produce, and it's just a wonderful blessing. So this presentation is not aimed at anyone in particular or talking about you need to give more money. I'm not saying that. I'm just responding to God saying you need to talk about two crowns, and you work out yourselves if this applies to you or anyone close to you or anyone that we need to pray for. But at this present time, we're being tremendously blessed, and God is really helping us in sharing. And all of you have helped so much, and it's just helping us. Just had another book completed. The Spanish version of Comforter was finished today, so we're able to send off the money we will be sending that money off shortly. And we had Colin's booklet in Arabic has just been released. Wonderful to be able to send off the funds for that and to provide for these things. So I thank God every day, and every time when I look at the funds coming in, I pray for each person. So thank you. Bless this person. Continue to bless them in the work that they're doing. And I'm just very, very thankful for everyone. But obviously here we're talking about the difference between those who are focused on the world. They obviously haven't grasped hold of the truth, the light as it is in Jesus. And then there are those that are trying to do both. And many of us are interacting with people that are trying to do both. They want the world and they want Christ. And they have difficulty in grasping. You have to be committed fully to be able to take hold of this message. You have to spend a lot of time to study and to commit yourself and to put your mind into a headspace. It doesn't allow love of the world at the same time as loving this message. You have to put a full commitment into this to do this. It says, those who were shown me as clamorous for the earthly crown were those who will resort to any means to acquire property. They became insane upon that point. All their thoughts and energies are directed to the acquirement of earthly riches. They trample upon the rights of others and oppress the poor and the hireling in his wages if they can take advantage of those who are poorer and less shrewd than they and thus manage to increase their riches. They will not hesitate a moment to oppress them, even see some of them brought to beggary. Ellen White dealt with some interesting characters, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
It's wow. The men whose heads were white with age and whose faces were furrowed with care, yet who were eagerly grasping the treasures within the crown, were the aged, who have but a few years before them. Yet they were eager to secure their earthly treasures. The nearer they came to the grave, the more anxious they were to cling to them. Their own relatives were not benefited. The members of their own families were permitted to labor beyond their strength to save a little money. They did not use it for the good of others or for their own good. It was enough for them to know that they had it. That's a way of getting surety, isn't it? Security. surety, just to know that they had it. When their duty to relieve the wants of the poor and to sustain God's cause are presented before them, they are sorrowful. They would gladly accept the gift of everlasting life, but are not willing that it should cost them anything. The conditions are too hard, but Abraham would not withhold his only son. In obedience to God, he could sacrifice his child of promise more easily than many could sacrifice some of their earthly possessions.
No.
That's obviously understood in a certain framework, no. But still, it's true.
No.
It was painful to see those who should have been ripening for glory and daily fitting for immortality exerting all their strength to keep their earthly treasures. Such, I saw, could not value the heavenly treasure. Their strong affections for the earthly caused them to show by their work that they did not esteem the heavenly inheritance enough to make any sacrifice for it. The young man manifested a willingness to keep the commandments, yet our Lord told him that he lacked one thing. He desired eternal life, but loved his possessions more. Many are self-deceived. They have not sought for truth as for hid treasure. Their powers are not put to the best account. Their minds, which might be illuminated with heaven's light, are perplexed and troubled. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Such, said the angel, are without excuse. I saw the light waning away from them. They did not desire to understand the solemn important truths for this time and thought they were well off without understanding them. How many people have we encountered like this? Did not desire to understand the solemn important truths for this time.
Piercing themselves through with many sorrows. Is that...
And piercing us through with many sorrows. Okay. Like, why don't you want to study this? Why don't you want to look at this? And I'm so thankful that our Father has put us in a position where all of the books, all the materials are freely available to be downloaded. They're on the website. Anyone can access them. Anyone anywhere can access this material, which is such a blessing. Their light went out and they were groping in darkness. And here's the point about when truth comes to you and you turn away and say no. This is probably the point that most struck me about this. When truth comes to you, because that's the greatest treasure of all. Truth is the greatest treasure. So know the truth and truth will set you free. The greatest treasure that we can have is the truth. And when truth is presented to you, and you say, when I have a more convenient season, it may not come back to you. And particularly if you turn away from it, or if you begin to throw black balls at those who are offering it to you, then you may be, the angels of God may leave. This is something that everyone needs to consider. The moment I've pled with many people, please consider this. There is more to the gospel. There's things I would like to share with you. I'll pray about it. Never hear from them again. Oh, yeah, okay. Never hear anymore. Just like, and then I think, oh, Lord, you know, like, I just pray for them. I pray that they'll open their hearts. What can be wrong with simply opening a book and with an open and investigative, you know, investigate something? What does it cost you to do this?
I think fear of being deceived. Yeah. Thinking that this is, oh, this could deceive me. This could really lead me down the wrong path. But see, that's, to me, that's not confidence in your relationship with Jesus, because Jesus will secure you to show you where this is truth or this is error. He'll make that clear to you as you search.
Well, if you have the truth, what fear do you have in investigation? You should be free to investigate anything. Prove only those things which the church has authorized. Is that what 1 Thessalonians says? Prove all things. You should be able to receive anything, and if you have confidence that Christ is leading you, and if you have a relationship with Jesus, as you said, Norm, then you can say, Lord, is there light in this? Should I be investigating this further? Or can I corroborate evidence for this? We should do this with every point.
Yep.
With every point. It says, the multitude of deformed and sickly pressing for the earthly crown are those whose interests and treasures are in this world. Although they are disappointed on every side, they will not place their affections on heaven and secure to them a treasure and home there. They fail of the earthly, yet while in pursuit of it, lose the heavenly. So they're failing in obtaining earthly treasure, but they're also throwing away the heavenly. Notwithstanding the disappointment and unhappy life and death of those who were wholly bent upon obtaining earthly riches, others follow the same course. They rush madly on, disregarding the miserable end of those whose example they are to follow. Those who reached the crown and possessed a share in it and were applauded are those who obtain that which is the whole aim of their life, riches. And again, it can be riches in assets or riches in influence, position, power, it doesn't matter. They receive that honor which the world bestows upon those who are rich. They have influence in the world. Satan and his angels are satisfied, as it says. They know that such are surely theirs, that while they are living in rebellion against God, they are Satan's powerful agents. The ones who became disgusted with the company clamoring for the earthly crown are those who have marked the life and end of all who strive for earthly riches. They see that such are never satisfied but are unhappy, and they become alarmed and separate themselves from that unhappy class and seek the true and durable riches. Those who are urging their way through the crowd for the heavenly crown, attended by the holy angels, were shown me to be God's faithful people. Angels led them on, and they are inspired with zeal to press forward for the heavenly treasure. The black balls which were thrown after the saints were the reproachful falsehoods put in circulation concerning God's people by those who love and make a lie. I certainly experienced that in the last few weeks. Yeah. Yeah, we won't go there. We should take the greatest care to live a blameless life and abstain from all appearances of evil. Then it is our duty to move boldly forward and pay no attention to the reproachful falsehoods of the wicked. And this is something we need to think about. Often the reason why we don't share, and I wrestle with this point, how much do I labor with someone? How often do I go to them? How often do I speak to them? God continued to reach out to Pharaoh and it ended up hardening his heart. There's a balance. And like, but there's one thing, we can continue to pray. But we do need to make appeals to people. I think of many people, I must make at least one appeal to this person. Please consider this information. I'm asking you with an open heart.
Maybe,
Ian.
Maybe you can explain a little bit deeper what Jesus means when he says, do not cast your pearls before swine. Keep what is holy to the dogs. Because, you know, I know you can understand that pearls are wisdom.
Yes.
And I guess, yeah, just understanding that.
We're
to seek the lost but yet there must be a qualification.
So this question about pearls before swine, do God's people ever judge another person as swine? No, they wouldn't do that, would they? So the people that are swine are those that judge themselves to be such and act in such a manner. It's not for God's people to judge another person as to whether they are worthy or unworthy. We don't know. But there are individuals who certainly judge themselves to be such. And certainly a class of people that have walked in the light of present truth and then have cast it away and accepted other falsehoods and doctrines are trampling pearls under their feet and are qualifying themselves to be swine. It's such a graphic statement, you know, it's like, ooh. But when people have walked in the light and then they walk away from it, it's very hard for them to come back. When a dog returns to its vomit and they go back and they go away, it's very, very hard. But we're wrestling with all these things. And I find that many people will go online on Facebook and they will argue with people. This message is not for arguing. You cannot argue this message. There are points where you are asked for the reason of the hope that is within you and you may be attacked and you may need to present what you understand. But to go into a forum on Facebook or any other forum and begin to argue with other people and to try and show them where they are wrong, this is not our method. This is not how we operate. We can't force of logic. We cannot force a logic process onto another person. And again, in the divine pattern, to reach a person's head, you have to reach their heart. To try and force spiritual truth into a person's mind without their consent is spiritual rape, isn't it? It's without consent. And if you're arguing with someone and you are trying to force your point upon them and try and get it through their thick skull, it's without consent. And so the only people I'm willing to share with are those that I obtain consent from, that ask me questions, that are, you know, like, what do you believe? That's consent. The heart is open. But when someone says, you're an absolute loser, Adrian, and you're going to hell, I know I don't have consent to talk to that person. Believe me, there's plenty of them. They're not giving me their consent, so I just don't engage. There's no point. So obviously family and those close to us, they can be the most difficult to, because they have to live with us and we have to live with them and we don't want to make things prickly for them. But we pray for opportunities and, of course, we're praying for them every day, aren't we? Praying for them every day and we know that the Lord is speaking to their hearts. But anyone that seeks to present this message and try and prove someone else wrong, I don't believe in this method. I don't believe our message can be preached this way. To see, and I've seen this in the past, to see people forcefully presenting to someone and saying that someone's stupid because they don't believe in the character of God is just against the character of God. And I've seen it happen. Have you seen it happen? It's just like, what? No. Our God doesn't judge people like this. And so it's frustrating that we want to share with some people and we're tempted to, you know, just... But, you know, we bottle it up and then we dump it all out on someone in one big hit and then we blow it and then it's not good, is it? But we have to put all these things in our Father's hands. And but I would say that, yes, to answer your question, Ian, swine are self-labeling. They label themselves.
Like the woman who calls herself a dog.
Yes, by their actions, by their deeds. And... I never want to go anywhere where I'm not invited to go or where someone hasn't asked me for information. If someone attacks me more and more, I'm just like, okay, that's it. That's how you see it. You know, like, you think I'm all these things. Well, you don't even know a quarter of what I am, what I know about myself. That's what Luther said, you know, the devil tells me that and 100 things more. So you're not telling me anything I don't know by these things, but I'm not going to engage in trying to defend myself in any of these things.
Or defend the message.
No, I don't need to be a defender of the message. No. The message can look after itself. I just want to share the joy and the freedom that I'm having. And I'm praying for all of us that as we are making decisions, as our hearts are growing warmer and warmer and warmer, for present truth, that, there you go, Daniel. that God will lead each of us and guide each of us. It's been an absolute miracle for me to see the way that God has led us step by step. We experienced tremendous setbacks 2.5 years ago in a number of quarters where we lost a lot of financial support. We lost a lot of, Daniel, people are watching. You're stealing the show. But you are interesting. There's no doubt about that. So, but God has continued to bless us and sent new people into our lives to continue to help us and support us and to keep the message going forward. And one of the principles that I believe in is that the printed page is one of the best forms of liberty of conscience, that a person can read a book and they pass their judgment whether they'll accept it or not. Their own conscience convicts them whether it's right or whether it's not. No one is forcing them to read the book. No, and to a lesser extent, the videos, okay, if you're listening to video, you're being persuaded by someone and it feels a little bit more than reading a book. The persuasion is there, but it's very, very calm, very, very chill. And I believe that because these books are going to many, many countries and many, many places, places are starting to spring up. Places are starting to spring up and getting the printed page to people, getting the PDFs to people, getting the audiobooks to people. This is the work that I'm very focused on during this sowing time and trusting that God will deal with the organizational elements. And again, 2.5 years ago, we faced with, you know, do we start to organize more? Do we start to impose rules? And we had some really difficult times a while ago and said, well, we need to have rules when we come to feast and people need to sign an agreement. And I'm like, oh, no, get me off this bus. So who made me a judge and a divider over you? This is not my work. This is not what the elders want to do in any way, shape or form. So, but I pray and I know that in dealing and talking with all of you, I know that you're pressing forward. I know that as I presented the other night, that I think that most of you judge yourselves much more harshly than you should, and you should let God judge you more, that you are his child. I want to see more of that coming through, believing that you are his beloved children. Yes, we have a past, and we get tripped up by it often, but I think we are going to more and more trust what our Father says about us rather than what we say about us and the devil. Regularly, Jesus say to me, Adrian, this isn't fair. You and the devil are ganging up on me. I'm saying this and you're both saying that. It's not fair. Is that a good way of looking at it? Stop ganging up on me. You are a beloved child of my Father and me, and you and Satan get together and say, no, I'm a terrible person, I'm an evil person, I'm this, I'm that, everything like that, and you're disregarding what I'm saying. So please stop doing that. He asks very nicely. He doesn't get angry. He doesn't get upset. He doesn't get irritable. He just says, please don't do that anymore. So Andrew says, I'm grateful having additionally blessed by reading the books and encourage everyone to read them. Thank you, Andrew, down in Victoria. We've had plenty of really good conversations, and I know that the Lord is leading us, and that the Spirit, as it's coming to us now, that some of you this week will make decisions that will take you in new paths, in new directions, and how to respond to the information that you're receiving. And I think for some of us, we're receiving so much light that if we don't do something soon, we're going to explode. That'll be messy. So we don't want that to happen either. So I've shared this with you. I'm sure in the heavenly kingdom, I'll know more of the ramifications of why I needed to share this tonight. I don't know all the reasons, but I pray that you've been blessed. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for your great love. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with each of us as we focus on moving towards the heavenly crown. And Father, though black balls are being thrown, even as they're being thrown right now, Lord, we don't worry about these things. We pray peace and love to all men and women. We pray for our families. We pray for our children. We pray that you would help us, Father. I pray for all of those gathering in different locations in North America, South America, in Europe, in Africa, Lord, and in East Europe. Lord, I pray that you would bless each of the gatherings and that you would show us what we must do that we may obtain eternal life. Father, when light comes to us, help us always to open our hands and say, yes, I will prove all things. I won't turn away from anything. And we will compare it with the platform. We will compare it with the three angels' messages. We will compare it with the pioneers. And if these things line up, we will walk in them. Please continue to guide us, we pray. Give us a good night of rest here in Australia. And for those starting their day or later in the afternoon, bless them as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So thank you, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow morning. We've got rest day tomorrow. Nothing happening tomorrow. So some of us tomorrow afternoon are going around to Liam's place. Some of you are going to Harvey Bay. Some of you are going south. Some of you are going to Brisbane. God be with you all, keep you safe and bring you back for Thursday. And if it's still sunny, maybe tomorrow night I might rip out a few logs and we might have a bonfire. How does that sound? That sound all right?
I'll stay in the bubble sock.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. God bless. Bye for now.
Let not your heart be troubled.